Good morning. It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship. I'd like to extend a special welcome to those who may be visiting today, and if it is your first time here, we invite you to fill out a welcome card that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you, and you may place the card in the offering plate during the morning offerings so that we may know who's been worshiping with us. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. You'll note on the back page of the bulletin the calendar for this week, and I'm just going to call your attention to it. I'm not going to read it to you, but I do call your attention also to the messages, the announcements that are underneath the calendar, that we are continuing to take orders for the Refugee Immigration Ministries fall flower bulb sale. The orders will be taken through next Sunday, and delivery of the bulbs will be the following Sunday. And also that we are continuing to receive donations for hurricane, I would also say earthquake relief, any disaster relief. If you would like to give a gift through the church, that would be going through our One Great Hour Sharing offering, but specifically for whichever disaster you would like to give money towards. And you can just make the check out to the church and just note in the memo line what it's for. Next Saturday, the American Baptist Women's Ministries of Massachusetts is having their fall meeting at the Calvary Baptist Church in Lowell. And Marilyn Glover will be attending and has invited anyone else who would like a ride to speak with her. Registration deadline is on Tuesday, so you may speak with Marilyn about more information. The guest speaker that day is Christy Engel, was a global consultant with a focus on healthcare issues. So that will be the speaker for next Saturday's meeting. Yes. Minor correction that Christy Engel is currently in the Dominican Republic, so she will not be speaking, but there is a missionary couple who will be substituting for Christy and will be the guest speakers next Saturday at the Saturday program for the American Baptist Women's Ministries of Massachusetts. Also wanting to announce today that on Sunday, October 15th, which is 3 weeks away, we'll be having a combined worship service with Casa de Fe y Alabanza and also perhaps Global Ark Baptist Church over in the parish house. Casa de Fe is hosting that event, and we'll be having lunch together here over in Judson Chapel after the service. So more information will be coming starting next Sunday for that. Also, anyone interested in attending and finding out more about our mission work for American Baptists, there is a Mission Works program on Friday and Saturday, October 13th and 14th at the Doubletree by Hilton and Leominster. This is sponsored by the American Baptist Churches of Massachusetts. Excellent program. And if you are interested in attending, Marilyn has more information about that, and please see her for that. Also, I noticed that the October sign-up sheet for greeters and coffee hour hosts is pretty blank. So if you would like to volunteer to be a greeter or a coffee hour host next month, please sign up during coffee hour today. So at this time, I invite you to turn in the blue hymnal to selection number 680 for our responsive call to worship. We'll be reading a variety of verses from the New Testament as we prepare our hearts and minds for worship. Let us read responsively from God's holy word. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. Hate what is evil. As God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Love is as strong as death. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud.
Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. Not easily angered. Keeps no record of wrong.
Love always protects. always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. Wonderful command from the Lord to love one another. Let us pray. God, who called the heavens and earth into being, show us how to love you today with heart, soul, mind, and strength. God, who calls us into community, show us how to love our neighbor today. God, who calls each one beloved and in whose image we are made, show us how to love even our own selves today. We ask this all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, and now pray as he taught, as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
may be seated. And any students in kindergarten through second grade may go out with their Sunday school class now and their teacher. We come to a time in our service that we have an opportunity to share celebrations and concerns with one another as we go to prayer. And we want to continue to remember Cindy Huddy. Cindy returned home yesterday after hip replacement surgery and some rehab this week. And so we want to pray for her continued recovery and recuperation as she's at home now. And I neglected to announce it last week, but Claire Stevens has returned to New England and is now residing at the Oosterman's home in Melrose. And saw Claire last weekend and just want to we want to pray for Claire as she continues to transition from Florida to New England. Also, we want to, Peggy Blum has asked for prayers for several of her family members. Some have health issues, some are traveling. We just want to lift all of those family members up in prayer today. And also, Chandru Mutharajan mentioned to me before the service that his grandmother passed away in India yesterday. So we want to keep Chandru and Sugantha in prayer today as he's missing, you know, his grandmother. He did get to see her when he was back in India for a wedding, but obviously being so far away, it's difficult. So we want to keep Chandru and his family in prayer today. We obviously want to pray for all of those affected by hurricanes and earthquakes and other disasters that have been taking place in recent days. It just seems like every time we listen to the news or read something that there's some other tragedy taking place. And we just want to lift up all of those folks today in prayer. Do you have any requests for prayer you'd like to share with the church family as we go to prayer this morning? Sharon. We want to continue remembering our organ technician and also one of our tenants, Richard Nickerson, which I announced a couple weeks ago that his assistant and good friend, James Marchant, passed away suddenly. In fact, the flowers are from his funeral earlier in the week. And we just want to, you know, continue to lift him up as he's still struggling with Jimmy's death and just the emptiness that he has in his heart right now. Did I see another hand? No? Okay. Anybody in the choir? Anyone else have a prayer request? Mark? Yes. Okay, Mark is asking for prayers for our nation's situation with North Korea, and that our government could find a way of negotiating a peaceful resolution to differences right now. Every time I listen to the news, I get more and more concerned. Yes, I didn't have that on my list, but definitely want to pray for the situation with North Korea today as well. Anyone else have a prayer request? Stanley, next week. We'll discuss that at our meeting next week. Yep, we'll discuss that next week, Stanley. Yep, okay. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. O God, you are a God of power and love and mercy. And as we come to you this day, O God, we focus on those attributes because at times we feel so powerless. At times we may even feel unloving towards others or unloved by others. And Lord, at times we don't have as much mercy in our hearts as we know that you wish we had. And Lord, so we come today in prayer to you, in conversation, which we know is a two-way street, not just to give you our laundry list of wants and needs and concerns, but also to spend moments in silence, in waiting upon you. Lord, as we come this day, we do lift up to you our deep concerns about our nation and the nation of North Korea, and the differences that seem to be escalating rather than being solved or being negotiated away. And Lord, we do pray for a peaceful resolution to the differences that are being expressed. We pray for the governments of these nations to work together. Lord, we don't have a solution, but we pray for your power and your wisdom to be upon those that have those keys, those possibilities of making those types of decisions. Lord, we somewhat feel at a quandary and not really knowing what to do, and we feel that way as well whenever we witness the devastation that's taken place from storms and earthquakes. And we pray, oh God, this day for those who are hurting because of lost structures and the lost homes and businesses and churches. We pray for those who have lost their lives in these terrible tragedies. We also pray for the survivors, oh God, and those who are responding with medical care, and those that are helping to haul away the debris and will ultimately begin to help rebuild. Lord, we thank you for those who have the calling to do that and have the skill and ability to do that. We pray, oh God, that our prayers and our financial gifts may go to support those who are ministering in your name to those who are hurting so much, that they may not lose hope, that they may grasp onto the importance of life, and they may celebrate that even in the midst of such danger and such devastation. Lord, we pray today for those who have been ill or those who are injured and those who are recuperating. Just pray for regained health and strength in their lives according to your will. We pray for those who are providing care for them as well, that they may have patience and they may have the knowledge and the skill to help the loved one as they continue to recuperate. And Lord, we pray for those who are in mourning today. We've mentioned those who have lost life through storms and earthquakes. And we just pray for others who have lost a loved one through death in recent days. We pray especially for Chandru and his family. We pray especially for Chandru right now because he is so far away geographically, oh God. Lord, help his family to know that Chandru is praying for them and loving them and caring for them. Lord, we just pray for your presence to be with that family and others who are hurting today, that have holes in their hearts. We pray that your spirit may fill that emptiness, that eventually they may find and refine joy in their lives, but right now that there is pain and anguish. Lord, if there is some way that we may reach out to help others, we pray that you would enable us to do that. Oh God, you have called us to be loving people, to love you and to love our neighbors. Oh God, we pray that we may do that with all of our heart, all of our minds, all of our strength. We ask all of this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We read in Scripture many different instructions from God and what we should do, and even from the early time of God's people, they were instructed to, when they came to worship, to bring an offering to present to the Lord as a thanksgiving for what God had been doing in their lives. We have an opportunity to do that today as well. as the ushers receive your tithes and your gifts.
Shine.
us pray. Lord, we pray that you would bless these gifts and bless us, that Jesus may shine and shed his light upon us as we share the good news of his love with others. We pray that this land may be filled with the Father's glory. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Scripture.
The reading for today is taken from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 22, reading from verses 36 to 40. Teacher, he said, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and the most important commandment. The second most important commandment is like it. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. The whole law of Moses and the teaching of the prophets depend on these two commandments. This is the word of the Lord. May the Lord add his blessing to these most holy words.
Thank you, Dorothy. Let's pray together. Lord, as we have read and heard your words this morning, the words of Jesus, quoting commandments from what we call our Old Testament, from what he knew as Scripture, that we are to love you with all of our hearts, all of our minds, all of our strength. and to love our neighbors as ourselves. Lord, those are words that come off our tongue quite easily. They're easy to say, but challenging to live out. We pray, O God, that this morning our hearts and minds may be open to receive a message from you that will help us in our daily living, that we may be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name. Amen. How do I love thee? Let me count the ways. I love thee to the depth and breadth and height my soul can reach when feeling out of sight for the ends of being an ideal grace. Perhaps you learned that poem by Elizabeth Barrett Browning in school, or recited it to a romantic interest, or perhaps you have had some similar thoughts about an inanimate object. I overheard this week someone say, "I love my iPhone." For many people, their relationship with their smartphone is often more important than their relationship with the person that they're with. This is the conclusion of new research on the subject of social impact of mobile phone usage. And I challenge you, if you don't believe that, or if you want proof of that, I challenge you to go to a restaurant or a coffee shop and step inside and just look around. And we're likely to see several couples or groups of people sitting across from one another and not speaking and not eating or drinking, but instead checking their phones. And this is not unusual today. Some 81% of Americans check their phones while dining out in restaurants, which means they're not looking at the people across the table from them. We neglect personal contact in favor of the virtual sort. A typical American checks his or her mobile phone 46 times per day. I know for some of you that still have the flip phone or have it only for emergencies, this may not apply, but we see it around us if we aren't experiencing it. And those between the ages of 18 to 24 do it more frequently than the 46, which is the average for the Americans. That age group averages 74 checks of their phone every day. A front page article in Friday's edition of the Boston Globe reported that while texting has transformed interactions between people in distant locations, it's now conquered a new turf. Texts now come from inside the house. Family members text each other while under the same roof, and sometimes even in the same room. This behavior, giving our attention to our phone instead of our friends and family members, is called fubbing, short for phone snubbing. It's phubbing. And it is causing problems in real human relationships, especially those of a romantic sort, and you can imagine that. A recent Baylor University study concluded that the more one partner in a relationship is distracted by his or her phone, the less the other partner feels dissatisfaction with the relationship. I think we could sort of would guess that that would be the result. But even if we believe that that is true, our phones still buzz incessantly, and we still want to check them. As some say, it's a FOMO thing, a fear of missing out. But what we're actually missing out on is real life and real relationships. We weren't wired this way, of course. We were created in the image of God to take care of creation and each other. The first humans were created for relationship with God and one another. And it's interesting to note that they also were created naked. They didn't originally have any pockets in which to keep their smartphones. Their full focus was to be on God and each other. In fact, love of God and others is the full focus of God's commandments throughout the Bible. That's the reality at the heart of Jesus' response to the Pharisees' question in today's scripture from Matthew chapter 22. This passage, which is set during the week between Jesus' entry into Jerusalem and Jesus' arrest and crucifixion, is part of a series of questions that were fired at Jesus by various religious groups who were trying to trap Jesus into saying something controversial that might get him killed. Now, reading Matthew, if we read in sequence, Jesus has already silenced the Sadducees, another group of religious leaders, with their odd hypothetical question about resurrection, in which they didn't believe in the first place. So the Pharisees, this next group of religious leaders, were up. And their question was about which of the commandments was most important. The Pharisees were students of the Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments and all those other laws that go along with them. And they believed that the rule of God, the reign of God, would become a reality only if all of God's people obeyed all the laws. Had they carried a cell phone, they would no doubt have had an app with the Torah, the books of law, the first five books in our Old Testament. They'd have that locked on their home screen. For the problem was that they often were so focused on the text, that they missed the people who were right in front of them. They had already been locked into controversy with Jesus about observing the Sabbath and hand washing, among other things, all of which are examples of how they elevated the text over the meta-text, the letter of the law over the spirit of the law. Jesus always pointed them to the primary intention in the biblical text, love for God and neighbor. The question about the greatest commandment was a loaded one, because rabbinical teachers generally viewed all of the 613 commands in the Torah as equal, and any ranking of them would have been scandalous and indicative of one's human preferences. The question the Pharisees ask is thus designed to get Jesus to disparage some part of the law. But Jesus turns from a debate about law to stating the one thing that comes closest to a universal creed in Judaism, a recitation of the Shema, which is found in Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5, which goes this way in English. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might. Love of God with the heart, soul, and might or mind was such a vital commandment that the Jews, the people of God, were to bind it on their hands and foreheads, as well as the doorposts of their home. They were to live this out and not just say the words. It was not the text mattered. It was the way that the command to live God, to love God, was lived out in one's thoughts, in one's actions, in one's home. It became what they were to do with all of their life. It was a call to engage in a real relationship with God on a daily basis. The prayer was to be recited several times a day and lived out in between those prayers. It wasn't just a text, but a life to be lived. One of the primary ways that we can express our love for God is to love our neighbor. That's a tangible way. In the Sermon on the Mount, as recorded in Matthew earlier in his book, Jesus has already expanded the concept of neighbor to include one's enemies. In fact, it is love for enemies that brings a person closest to God's brand of perfect love and makes him or her a child of God. If we are to give our full love and attention even to our enemies, how much more should we be giving our love and attention to those who are closest to us? Smartphones are nice. They're very useful. They make it possible to hold people, though, at a distance, to shoot off a quick text instead of engaging in conversation, to peruse the details of people's lives on social media, many of whom we don't know personally, without actually interacting with them, and to react with an emoji rather than real compassion and emotion. Jesus denounced the fubbing Pharisees as more concerned with the text of the law, the words of the law, than the spirit of the law. That is, more of the words rather than their meaning. They spent so much time focusing on the words about the right way to do this and the right way to do that, that they missed the most important person right in front of them, their neighbors. And in missing this, they were ignoring them. Jesus told the Pharisees that all the text of the law and the prophets was summed up in the commands to love God and neighbor. Thus, they could not merely hold people at a distance by measuring them against the law. They needed to actually put the law into practice, getting their nose out of the scroll and looking people in the eye. This was the essence of Jesus' criticism of them as people who had neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. The warning that Jesus gives to the Pharisees is one that we need to hear as well. We might gain the whole world by tapping into instant information and gratification of our technological age, but we may also forfeit authentic relationships characterized by cross-bearing, sacrificial, face-to-face love for God and others. Our fubbing of people, preferring the phone over the actual person sitting in front of us, can quickly become a snubbing of humanity in general. In the end, God does not care how many likes we get on our most recent post. God only cares that we have loved God and the people of God with all the attention our hearts, souls, and minds can muster. So that's great in theory, but how do we put that into practice, make it practical for our lives? It might begin with some anti-fubbing discipline. Consider what one group of friends does when they are at a restaurant. All of their phones are not turned off, but they're all stacked at the edge of the table. And the first person to grab his or her phone before the meal is over has to pick up the check for all. Consider making a no phones at the table rule in our homes. For meal times, or consciously counting the number of times we check our phone during the day. And you may say, well, I live alone and there's nobody to talk to. But how many times are you multitasking and checking your phone and eating dinner? Or how many times during the day are we checking our phone just to see what else is going on out there? And maybe ignoring something that's right in front of us. We may discover what we've been missing. And it is not the latest cat video. We'll discover that real relationships trump the virtual ones every single time. And more broadly, however, we might consider how we can be more intentional about loving our neighbors. We might address the question of who are our neighbors, and that's Luke's rendition of this, has a young man coming to Jesus and with a similar scenario, but then the young man asks Jesus, but who is my neighbor? And Jesus tells him the parable of the Good Samaritan. And then at the end asks, who was that man's neighbor? And the man replied, the one who showed love to him, the one who had compassion and cared for him. So we may need to look around us and who needs to be our neighbor? Who do we need to be neighborly to? We may need to be specific about that, not just general terms. We might give thought to how we might love, help, encourage, and support those who we deem as less than friendly to us. That is, the people who we find difficult to work with or who have stood in our way. We might consider how we might help a few of the unfortunate neighbors we have in our lives. Because in a sense, fubbing is not just about smartphone usage. It's a nice little term that's been coined. It's about anything in which we give priority above the attention of God and our neighbors who deserve our primary attention. As the late Reverend Fred Rogers wrote and sang, So let's make the most of this beautiful day. Since we're together, we might as well say, would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? That's a challenge we have, to be a neighbor to others, to love God and to love neighbors. They go together. As I've said before, loving God is the vertical part and loving neighbor is the horizontal part. And when we put those together, we see the cross of Jesus Christ, which he demonstrated that pure love as he went to the cross paying the price for all of our sins, that we might love God and others to our fullest. And I close this morning with the words of the prolific 19th century hymn writer Fanny Crosby, entitled The Two Commandments. First among the Christian graces, love, the crowning virtue, stands. Love is taught our highest duty in the Savior's two commands. Love with all thy powers united, love the Lord thy God above, and remember yet another, as thyself, thy neighbor, love. Are we loving? Are we striving to obey our Master's will? We must pray for grace to help us his commandments to fulfill. We must keep this thought before us in the work we try to do. If we love our dear Redeemer, we must love our neighbor too. Love that changes not. Love that changes not. Love that warms the heart to all, everywhere we go. Love with all thy powers united. Love the Lord thy God above. And remember yet another, as thyself, thy neighbor, love. Let's pray together. Lord, we ask today, how do we love you? And how do we love our neighbor? We see the most perfect example of love coming through Jesus Christ. He is our role model. And Lord, we just pray that we may open our eyes to see those that are in front of us, that we may not be so stuck and attached to our electronics or our paperwork or our other things that muddle our minds, but that we may look around and see those who need our love. Lord, the young man in Luke asked, who is my neighbor? And eventually, through the parable, learned that a neighbor is anyone who shares love with others and needs that love. We pray, O God, that we may be good neighbors to those around us, that they may see your love through us, and ultimately may one day come to know you as well. Lord, the two commandments, to love you and love neighbor, are entwined. We pray, O God, that we may leave here strengthened and obedient to those commands. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
God has shown us the way of love. Let us go committed to live in that love so that all the world may experience through us the grace of God, the comfort of Christ, and the strength of the Spirit. The greatest commandment we have received is to love the Lord our God with heart, soul, and mind. And the second is like it. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Let us go from this place and serve the world. Set free by the grace of Jesus Christ, committed to live in the love of God, and sustained by the Holy Spirit. Amen.